Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation, where pre-caliphate music is played on a daily basis. Now, there's an epic battle going on in America. It's for the soul of the country. And the vampire Obama is trying to steal the soul of America, suck the blood out of the country, and render us into a form never before seen in this nation. In Europe, a parliamentary member, Daniel Hanan, told a gathering of conservative activists in Washington that the Obama administration's Europeanization agenda has the U.S. screeching toward the cliff of socialism. He said, "I've been a member of the European Parliament for 12 years. I'm living in your future, or at least the future toward which your present leaders seem intent on taking it. Believe me, my friend, you're not going to enjoy it." Mr. Hannon, a member of Britain's Conservative Party and an outspoken advocate for the decentralization of national governments, said Obama's aging of European health care, European daycare, European college education, European nuclear disarmament, European carbon taxes is compromising Americans' personal freedoms. He said, "We look up and what do we see in our rearview mirror? We see you trying to overtake us, accelerating frantically in a direction we have been running away from. My friends," he warned us, "there is still time to turn aside." Mr. Hanan warned that the United States, despite its more than two centuries of successes and its well-regarded constitution, isn't immune to a political breakdown. "There's nothing in the soil, there's nothing in the water, there's no law of nature that makes this country the way it is. It comes from the institutions," he said. "Your founders understood this very clearly." And so we look at what Obama is doing. He is the most radical. He is the most actually fascistically radical left-winger ever to have achieved such a high position. He renders some of the other leftists who have come and gone through the history of this country as minor players compared to what he wants to do and what he is doing. All you've got to do is look at the military and see what he's done to it and what he wants to do to it. Take a look at him destroying NASA. Take a look at him putting American astronauts as passengers on a Russian space shuttle. Take a look at him ceding space to China. Take a look at the article from Stars and Stripes on MichaelSavage.com, because this one you're not going to believe, but you may remember it. Soldiers are being forced to put on fake belly and fake breasts to better understand a pregnant troop's exercise concerns. This is the new military under Obama. Now, that leads to my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which will be out in April. Many people in the media are going to avoid this book. In fact, they will all avoid it. They all follow the Fox model, which is to make sure that no conservative ever gets on Fox News or on any of the other channels. But strangely enough, CNN has invited me on with the book Trickle Down Tyranny. Of course, I won't go on because the slimy limeys there will set me up and not permit me to express myself whatsoever. But it's interesting to me that even CNN would have me on while Fox News is so cowardly in their movement away from true conservatism, they won't even have Michael Savage near them. But anyway, take a look at this. If I say to you, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America, you'd say, he's just a talk show, he's looking to peddle a book. Well, am I the only one who sees this? Am I the only one who says, will President Obama succeed in his plans to transform the greatest engine of freedom the world has ever seen into a top-down, heavy-handed, authoritarian regime, if not a dictatorship? Or will the American people succeed in exposing and ridding themselves of this new Leninist? Yesterday, I was riding my bicycle in a mall, as I do every day, as often as I can, and I saw two people in their late 50s, early 60s, walking around with Obama like a little button that said 12 on it, and the rainbow, or whatever he has. I don't know what the swirl is. And they had these self-satisfied looks that is enough to make a strong man really angry. I felt like running up to them and saying, are you people insane? You want to vote for the most corrupt administration in history? You know, I don't do that because I have a talk show and it's a free country. And I generally don't confront people in the street. I can't imagine what this is doing to the average man out there in America who has no voice, no outlet, no recourse for the tyranny that they're living through. I really have no idea what they're feeling. I know what I feel. And my blood is boiling. In all the 16 or 17 years I've been on radio, I've never been in a place like this before where an administration is overtly as corrupt, as overtly corrupt as this one is. Billions of dollars in crony capitalism and no investigations. Instead, the Republicans are knocking each other's legs out from under each other. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you care to comment upon this, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Other stories include students taught how to put on condom when drunk. I'm not inventing this. This comes out of the city I love so much. Voltaire's Paris was nothing compared to Savage's San Francisco. That is right. The students in San Francisco at the once fabulous Galileo High School celebrated Valentine's Day as hundreds of students lined up to learn how to marry their sweethearts regardless of sexual orientation. They then learned how to correctly put on a condom using goggles that gave them a drunken view of things and played a variety of games that promoted sex. This is what's going on in the city of San Francisco in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. This is not tolerance. This is insanity. This is what Nancy Pelosi has wrought in this city. This is what Obama has wrought in this city. At one table, a health degenerate called a teacher put goggles on students that made their vision slightly blurry, simulating a drunken state. She then told them to put a condom on a wooden penis. This is what the sickest people in American history are doing to your children. If there was a time that they taught children how to build things, how to create things, how to dream of a better America and a better tomorrow. Today, the sickest people on earth have invaded our schools and are destroying the minds of our children. So do you think that I'm wrong when I title a book Trickle Down Tyranny? Do you think that that is a title that's reality? How can we have a country when we have a 50% dropout rate in high schools and degenerate slime are allowed to go into the schools to put a condom on a wooden penis? Now, the only university that this can gain you entry to would be Harvard, I would assume, or perhaps Princeton. I realize that they also have orientations for young for the students who enter the colleges, giving out condoms the first day. This is what's going on in our schools. Brainwashing posing as tolerance. No wonder so many parents reject degenerate liberal public schools and are homeschooling. Okay, what would you like to talk about? Why do you think Obama supporters don't understand how corrupt this man is? Why do you think the Obama supporters don't care how corrupt this administration is? Why do you suppose the Obama supporters make believe you're a fascist if you point out the corruption that is at a level never before seen in this country? Never. Solandra, you know, about $500 million went up in smoke. Whatever happened to the FBI investigation? Answer, been buried. Somebody called the show and said, I said I was surprised that Obama's FBI would actually raid Solandra once they declared bankruptcy and seized the files. I said, you really think there's going to be a prosecution? They said no. They said Eric Holder raided Solandra to make sure that Obama had his hands on the files so that they could never trace it back into the White House and up the chain of command. And so that's the country you're living through in this country. Why do Obama supporters continue to support him? I could see a person being a Democrat or a liberal, but this is a corrupt regime. This is not just a Democrat or a liberal administration. This is a major league corrupt administration. Chicago is the most corrupt city in the United States of America. A study was recently done proving what people have known going back to Al Capone. We know that it's a corrupt city, and I don't have to point out to you what we mean by that. But when you see a man wrecking the military, when you see a man wrecking every institution that took hundreds of years, collectively, hundreds of years to build, you have to ask yourself, why do people walk around with such faces, thinking that they're so much smarter than everybody as they're destroying this country? There's a story that's not directly related, which is the son of Oliver Stone, the depressive film director. You can see his movies are those created by a man bordering on insanity, in my opinion. A man, you know, this is another part. Why do they hate America? I woke up at 3 in the morning today and I said, why do they hate America? I struggled with it. I couldn't understand how I, as the son of a European immigrant, love this country and how they could hate the country. Why does Sean Penn hate America? Why does Oliver Stone hate America? Why does Hollywood hate America? I kept asking myself, what do they hate about the country? Where does the hatred come from? How could people who've made their fortunes and their fame in this nation hate this country? And the only answer I could come up with is that they're mentally ill, which is why years ago I wrote a book called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, because it actually describes most of the true liberals I've met are really mentally disordered. Almost every last one of the most fanatic liberals are on medication, severe medication for depression. Once I got to know them, they always disclosed to me they were on very severe antipsychotics or antidepressive medication. Every one of them. These are confused, deranged people who have a modicum of talent, and they are living in a society that rewards hatred for this country and punishes patriotism. How could I, Michael Savage, the most successful man in the history of San Francisco literature and the arts, with one successful book after another, how could I be ignored in a city like this, where degeneracy and sickness and Loserville is rewarded and success is ignored? How is that possible? How could a city that was once so wonderful, built by one ethnic group after another, come to be so hateful of this nation? How could a city which prides itself on tolerance be so intolerant? How could a city that pretends to be so clean be so dirty? How could a city be filled with so many citizens that are so deranged as to hate this country? I kept asking myself these questions. What do you think? I'll be right back. So here we are in the United States of America, living through a time that no people have ever lived through. It's never been like this. We've never had an overt, outright, naked communist administration. But I don't care what you call it. It doesn't matter to me what you call it. It matters what I call it. And I've been around longer than you. I've analyzed these things longer than you. I know more than anybody in the media about what's going on. More than anybody in the media. I'm not going to sit here and make believe that they're smarter than I am or they've studied things more than I have. Just remember who you're talking to here. I've written one best-selling book after another. I have lived in this country as an immigrant son my entire life. I don't understand why liberals hate America, hate the military, hate the police, hate the church, hate their father, hate their mother. I don't understand how they hate this country. I can't understand it. And yet we have a man in the White House who sat in a church for 20 years where Reverend Wright screamed, not God. And liberals voted for him anyway because they hate America. They also believe that God should damn America. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you yet? That this small minority of people, it might be 10% of the population, of malcontents, mentally deranged people, outright communists, socialists, liberals, America haters, it's not a very large number. This very small percentage of the population has taken the greatest country in the history of the world, and they are trying to wreck everything that's worth living for. They are committing suicide for the nation. And yet he gets away with it because the media is filled with, there's a thousand different words I could use for you. Let us just say slavish worshipers of Obama. They refuse to criticize him. not only because they agree with his hatred of America and his desire to destroy the military and the police and the family and the church and the Holy Ghost itself, but there's another but. They are usually very sick individuals themselves. If you study these situations, you find that many of them are mentally ill, actually functional mentally ill people on medication. You say, well, it's not limited to liberals. Doesn't matter to me. Right now, we are in the vice grip of mentally deranged America haters who are destroying, they're trying to destroy everything they can get their hands on. Putting soldiers, this is from the military magazine, the Soldier magazine, Stars and Stripes. Soldiers are forced to put on a fake belly and fake breasts to better understand a pregnant troop's exercise concerns. This is what Obama has done to your military. This is what that Peter Sellers, who runs the Defense Department, has done to our military. Look at the article. I didn't make it up. Soldiers are forced to wear a fake belly and fake breasts. The Army is ordering its hardened combat veterans to wear fake breasts and empathy bellies so they can better understand how pregnant soldiers feel during physical training. Now, what country can survive when this type of insanity is inflicted upon the troops? How is this possible? Why do the people go along with this? Why would they do it? Because they're afraid of being fired or demoted. This is what happens when you take degenerate sickos and put them into the military command. It's beyond belief. How can they defeat an enemy? How can soldiers defeat an enemy if they're turning them into people who want to feel, in other words, to empathize with pregnant women? And you think Al-Qaeda doesn't see these stories? You don't think Al-Qaeda sees these stories? I think you really ought to look into it. There's something wrong with this picture. He's getting away with it. They're literally destroying the military in front of your eyes, and they're laughing about it. The girls from Harvard are destroying the military, and they're laughing in your face because they have purged the military of any man who would stand up to them. They've purged the military the same way Stalin purged it, only instead of executing them, they've thrown them out of the military.
Savage. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
We do not believe there is a feasible way or a fair way to restore fiscal sustainability without asking a very small fraction of the most fortunate Americans to bear a modestly higher burden for the privilege of being Americans.
Here's a man, Timothy Geithner, who's a laughingstock. He's fundamentally a messenger boy for the corrupt administration, who is bankrupting the Treasury as fast as they can by printing money without any evaluation whatsoever, saying that we should pay more money for the privilege of being Americans. Here's a man who did nothing to build America. But he's acting as though he inherited America. He owns America with Obama and the cronies. And they're telling the rest of us who work for a living that we owe it to the bums and the illegal aliens to pay more money for the privilege of being American. I have no words for this other than to have you just listen to this on your own. It's incomprehensible to believe that when you see Greece melting down and having to bite the bullet and tighten their belts, because they've been told by Germany and others who have been paying their way that if you want to receive another bailout, you've got to cut back on welfare, you've got to cut back on the pensions, you've got to work longer, you've got to work longer in life, and you've got to work longer, you've got to cut down on your vacations, you've got to cut back on the medicine the government's giving you. The Greeks don't like it. But the government of Greece is run by a man who's less socialistic than Obama. He said to the people, you've got to do it or we're not going to be bailed out. Here we have an administration that says we'll keep printing money and we will raise taxes on those who actually make things, except those who support us. They'll get an exemption as we've given thousands of exemptions for Obamacare to our cronies. We will exempt Warren Buffett from real taxation. We will exempt General Electric from real taxation. We will exempt Microsoft from real taxation. We will exempt anybody who puts money into the kitty of our administration. We'll let them continue with their loopholes, and we'll tell everybody else to pay more money except the 47% who pay no federal taxes. This is an administration that's gone wild, an administration gone wild. So every way you turn, you see this going on. Every way you turn. I see that finally Mitt Romney's advisors have been listening to the Savage Nation. How many months have I told you that he should just stop appearing? How many months have I, Michael Savage, said stop the debates? I was the first one. You know why you didn't hear that from Fox News? Because they were running the debates and they were good for ratings. But you see, I don't run debates. But I watched Gingrich as the cannonball destroying, it was a cannonball on the deck of the Republican ship, killing, knocking everyone's feet off. He was working for the Obama administration, overtly or covertly, in my opinion. You won't know it, you'll never read it, you'll never find it out. But I can guarantee you, if you follow the money over the next few years, the Gingrich machine will have benefited from what he's done to the Republican Party and to Mitt Romney in particular. Guarantee it. Now, don't tell me how good he did by yelling at the media. That was a cheap publicity stunt. The fact of the matter is, finally, Romney said no more. He's not going to debate. And because he won't debate, CNN has dropped the debate because there's nobody left except the crackpot and the cannonball. So there we are. That's the story. And Gingrich is out there raising as much money as he can, probably from those who want to elect Obama, so that he can continue to do opposition research on Mitt Romney and destroy him before the general election. But I'm glad to see that the Romney people have listened to the Savage Nation long enough to understand that it was wise to pull out of these debates, because to go before CNN again, to go before that slimy little creature, Wolf Blitzer, the man who he's like a living gefilte fish. Wolf Blitzer, every time I see him, I see a blinking gefilte fish in a suit with glasses. That's all I see, a fish. I don't see a man. And it's not even a real fish. It's a composite of old fish, fetid fish, pushed together almost like a dibbuk would be put together. A dibbuk, a non-human, inside a suit, making believe he's kind and fair and gentle. That's what I see, a gefilte fish in a suit with fake eyes. I watched a hawk kill another bird today as I'm on my bicycle, went down to my boat, and I and Jack Hatfield were looking around. See, I lived through Jack Hatfield, my character in Abuse of Power, my forthcoming novel, which, if you can believe it, you're not going to believe this. I mean, it's like I'm an automaton at this point. Trickle Down Tyranny will be out in April, and Jack Hatfield's almost through with his next adventure as well. I've had enough. I really have had enough for a while. But Jack watched a hawk kill another bird. The hawk flew off the top of a mast, swooped down and killed the other bird, and while the bird was still flapping and the blood was running from the bird's neck, the hawk took it to a patch of grass to devour its innards. And that's the world we're living in. That's the world we've always lived in. And now we have hawks all around the world who want to kill us. Let's be very clear. They want to destroy the American eagle. Let's speak in metaphors. China wants to destroy the American. The eagle wants to eat the eagle. The dragon wants to eat the eagle. The bear wants to eat the eagle. The crescent wants to eat the eagle. And what do we have in the White House? A man who undermines our allies, kowtows and caters to our enemies, undermines our defense cells. I mean, if this whole picture was that of an immune system, it would be as though the Obama administration is filled with retroviruses who are raging around the body politic, trying to neutralize the defense cells. Let me put it to you that way. Since I wrote a book many years ago called A Maximum Immunity, it was originally published in 1983 or 4, 86, I think, by Houghton Mifflin. It was in six languages where I came to study the immune system. I got to know it on a fairly decent level, on a macro level. I'm no expert on it. But even a high school student can understand what I just said to you. An average high school student who understands the rudiments of the immune system can understand what I just said. The Obama administration, the cronies who are tearing us apart from the inside out, the girls from Harvard and Princeton and Yale who have penetrated the military, penetrated DHS, penetrated naval intelligence, they are like retroviruses raging through the system, trying to suppress our white blood cells. The white blood cells being the real men and women who really love this country and are trying to defend it. It is as though these retroviruses stopped them at every turn. Example, would you like a real example? Let's start with the Mexican border. Border patrol agents. Let's start with a name, Brian Terry, worked for America to protect us against the Mexican drug smugglers, the cartels, the illegal aliens sneaking across the border. What did our administration do? They gave guns, for whatever the reason, I have a couple of reasons in my new book, they gave guns to the Mexican cartels, machine guns. Guns were used to kill border, to fight each other, and of course to fight our Border Patrol agents. And one of our defense cells, a white blood cell named Brian Terry, was killed. How did this happen? Do you think it happened by accident? No. I've studied Fast and Furious. It was a plan from inside the Justice Department, and there's a name attached to it. And that named man, a former administration official for none other than Bill Gunhater Clinton, said, I've got a bright idea. Let's send guns from America to Mexico so when they're used in crimes, we can trace them back to gun dealers in America, and then we can slam down on the Second Amendment and say that it's our fault that there's a drug war. It's our fault that there's murders from guns. We've got to now gather all the guns in America. We've got to take them off the streets. We've got to take them out of the homes. We've got to take them away from every citizen. You want the name? It's in Trickle-Down Tyranny. I'm not the only one who knows it. It's coming out in the hearings. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? It's as though the body politic has been invaded by retroviruses that are literally getting inside our defense cells, replicating defense cells, acting as though they are our white blood cells, when in fact they're taking the side of the enemy. Putting astronauts on a Russian space shuttle? Kowtowing to Al-Qaeda? Kowtowing to the Arab murderers in the Arab Crescent and calling it the Arab Spring? It's astounding to me. So this show becomes harder to do every day for a couple of reasons. One, because the escalation of attacks upon our nation have grown to an extent that people can't even follow it. It's happening so rapidly and with such a maliciousness that the people can't even keep up with the Obama administration in their desire to render us incapable of going back to where we were even 2 years ago. That's number one. Then you've got a complicit media. Then you've got a radio network. I don't know. Maybe they're uncomfortable with me explaining to you what's actually going on. They're afraid. They're frightened of the Obama administration. You realize that every day that I do this show, I have to look over my shoulder? Do you realize that every word that I say, I have to think 50 times? You hear how fast it comes out of my mouth? Right? You try it one day. You try it for 3 minutes. Every word, although it sounds like it's spontaneous, and it is, it's from my mind and my heart and from my readings. I'm not reading a script. But think about walking on this razor's edge. Think about what I'm saying to you. One wrong word and you're out of this business. One wrong word and you're out of talk radio. Then you've got nervous radio stations who are terrified of the Obama administration. They want to appease them. They're afraid of conservatives now. Even though every poll, including the Gallup poll, shows that America's moved to the center right, that people are fundamentally more conservative in this country than ever before, the media is so afraid of this Stalinist regime that they're catering to it, checking themselves every which way that they can. There's another article I found that I put on michaelsavage.com about Hollywood and China. You have to see what Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and anti-Americanberg are doing with regard to China. You have to see this story to see how far Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg have gone to cater to the communist regime in China. And so I'm going to go there with you. First, I have to go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation. Then I have to find the article. It was on yesterday. I think it's still there. Let me just find it because it's an important article. There's so many amazing articles. Obama wrecks the Mars program. Netanyahu crying. Iran sanctions not working. Well, boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. We gave you billions of dollars a year for 20 years. Use it. I'm sick of Israel crying. How do you like that? You didn't want to hear it, did you? I'm sick of it already. Crying wolf. Go do something about it. You have the most powerful military in the Middle East. Go use it. That's what I feel like saying. Where is this article on this Ali Stone Occupy Movement should embrace Islam? Illegals win $350,000 settlement over immigration raids. You hear this? It leaves you speechless. I don't know where the article is. Which article was I looking for? I don't even remember. I can't find it. Charles, what article was I looking for? Because it was not in Israel. It was before Israel. Students taught how to put on condom when drunk in San Francisco High School. Soldiers are forced to put on a fake belly and breast to better understand pregnant troops' exercise concerns. Obama's lunch inspector visits schools. Violent MS-13 street gang connected to family killer in San Francisco. Foreclosures on the rise again. Syria says the revolution is becoming more Islamic. We've covered that. The Republicans have gerrymandered Representative West out of power in Florida. Republicans did this. The Republicans gerrymandered a war hero out of office in Florida because they don't want anyone who is a conservative. In other words, Republicans are basically putting out a sign that says conservatives not welcome, not welcome in our party. I can't find the article, but there's so many good ones. I'll just, you know, get back to it later. And I hope you understand what I'm saying to you, what's going on in this country and how. Here it is. Hollywood bows to China's soft power, from the newspaper or publication called The Diplomat. You have to hear this story. China bows to China's soft power. Studios are bending over backward. Shall I read this to you? Shall I read it? Keen to get a slice of China's fast-growing movie market pie, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg and studios are bending over backward to accommodate official Chinese restrictions. Hollywood actress Meryl Streep, who's, by the way, whose last movie was a complete and total stinker because she tried to smear a woman 1,000 times greater than her, Margaret Thatcher, hitched a ride on a Chinese businessman's private jet to Beijing. Once there, she met up with idiosyncratic writer-director Joel Cohen and raised the Red Lantern director Zhang Yimou to promote China's exploding film industry. And then you read on, right? For industry insiders, the trio personify a growing partnership between Beijing's aspirations to export what it calls soft power, a sugar-coated version of China and its myriad social problems, to the West, and Hollywood producers who are bending over backwards to get a piece of the world's fastest-growing film market. Now, I won't read the whole article to you, but when you hear about the restrictions that the Chinese communists are putting on films, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Chinese Hollywood co-productions are vehicles for Beijing to dictate the China narrative outside its borders. Liu said Beijing has made no secret of its eagerness to build a narrative through movies and points to a recent plenum of the Central Committee of the Communist Party endorsing guidelines to boost what it calls cultural security by propelling Chinese culture overseas. Now, what does that mean? Well, China has to be shown in a sympathetic light. What does that mean? Well, there's certain themes that are not allowed to be shown in movies. It says U.S. producers are taking an ultra-conservative route, and self-censorship is happening at a very early stage. In concept development, there's already an understanding of what will fly in China, and that gets concentrated by the time it gets to a screenplay. Okay? Now, I wrote a novel called Abuse of Power. It's 7 weeks on the New York Times list. Great movie. Great book. Jack Katfield's a great original character. As good as the other Jack in the other great series of books. Wonderful. Set in San Francisco. Natural to be a movie, right? One producer after another has said, we love the book, we can't produce it. We're not allowed to produce it in Hollywood. So we already have a censorship system in America. Fox News is a censored organization. Fox News does not permit real conservatives on unless they can make them into a cartoon of themselves. They ape conservatism, but they actually detest conservatives the way Romney does. Hollywood, as you well know, has a very strict censorship commission. Any theme that does not go along with the protocols of Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg never ever gets it to first base. Because the czars of Hollywood, the new Caesars, who sit in their togas, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg, have made it known that certain themes are not permitted. Any theme that shows the military to be heroic, niet, thumbs down. Any theme that shows a cop to be a hero, thumbs down, unless he's also a drug addict and a cross-dresser, secretly belonging to a cross-dressing society, thumbs down. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama's raking in money like never before. He's in Hollywood with Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Spielberg, and the others who have produced the sewer pipe that most of us try to avoid. And those who flow through the sewer pipe, the actors and actresses, are rushing to toss cash at the Obama machine. This is an administration that is fundamentally out of control with its desire to take down the nation on virtually every level. And if you think it's just hyperbole or rhetoric, well, you haven't been paying attention to what they're actually doing, and the corruption of this administration greatly exceeds that of any previous Republican administration. The only difference is they own the media. Yet they're in L.A. right now raking in the cash, fresh from advocating for more blue-collar factory jobs, lip service. Obama roared through California Thursday. He's in L.A., I understand, or I don't know exactly where. I don't follow these things that carefully. But somebody in L.A. said the traffic's beyond comprehension. He is in a star-studded campaign today, raking in at least $8 million. Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg, no doubt, are genuflecting, seeing if they can get on their hands and knees and kiss his shoes. They've never been so happy. Now, it's true Hollywood objected slightly a few weeks ago about something Obama didn't do. But he started the day with a fundraiser at the home of real estate developer Jeff Stack, where tickets, well, you know the prices. You know, what are you going to, you know what the prices are, right? What is amazing to me is the level of corruption and how these liberals would smirk in your face if you said to them, well, what about Salinger? What about guns to Mexico? What about destroying the military? What about the... They wouldn't care. They'd laugh at you. They would just laugh at you. Why do they support this man when he has the most corrupt administration in American history? As I said to you, I could see a Democrat. I could see even a moderate liberal. But we don't have that. We have an extremely radical administration destroying the nation. And once these destructive elements are in place, it's almost impossible to turn back, as you well know. You know that, and I know that. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say this hour, and I said it. I guess I did it because Obama's on the road. I don't think he's listening to me today in the White House while eating ice cream. So I figured I would express to you what I really feel.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We've spent an hour on this show, at least I have, trying to understand why liberals hate America. I don't understand it. I'm an immigrant son. Theoretically, I should hate America, right? My father came from Russia. He struggled all his life. He died young of a heart attack. I should hate America like Oliver Stone does. I should have become a Muslim and told people that my new name is Ali, but I didn't. How is it that I love my country and he hates the country? How is it that Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, Latzenberg, Lausberg, and Spielberg, why do they hate the country? Why do they continue to put out movies that show America in its worst light? Why? I don't understand it. How could a man as deranged as Sean Penn, who can't compose an entire paragraph without looking like a stoner, there's not a paragraph that comes out of his mouth that connects where one sentence connects with another. Why does he hate this country? Why does he still look at America through the lens of hatred? They have everything in the world from this country. I don't understand it. I'm actually trying to understand it. I like to watch TV at night. It's no secret. I'm not ashamed of it. I've always been a TV addict. Except when the kids were young, I didn't have a TV in the house for a while. I didn't let them watch TV, but okay, I needed them to learn something. But now I find myself watching a lot of television. My mind is very, very exhausted after a radio show. It's been a long day for me at the time that day is over. So I like to watch movies, and I like to watch military history. So the other night, I was watching a show about Congressional Medal of Honor winners, one from Korea, one from Vietnam, and one from, I believe, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. The man from Korea really impressed me. His name was Reuben. He was a short Jewish immigrant who had come from Romania or Hungary. And I couldn't believe what he said. He said he did some of the most heroic things I'd ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe how he got away with it because they thought he'd be killed doing it. They put him there to hold down that hill while the Chi-Coms came at him from every direction because they figured they didn't, he'd be killed. They said, send the Jew to do it, the Hungarian Jew. He even said that. He said, I decided to pay back my country what it gave me. I love the country so much. So I decided to pay the country back, he said. Now, what has happened that in this cycle between then and now, we have masses, millions of people coming here from everywhere on earth who come here with an attitude of hatred? Where'd they get this attitude from, that they're allowed in and they hate the country? They're allowed in, they're allowed to suck us dry on welfare? Where did it come from? I keep pondering this. It goes back a long way. I understand that. It didn't start with Obama, but it might end with Obama because this country can't take much more of this. If 47% of Americans pay no federal income tax, if wave after wave of illegal aliens from south of the border come here with no desire to speak even the rudiments of English, and they wave Mexican flags at sporting events and at schools, how can this country survive? The answer is it can't and it may not be. That's the answer. I don't know how much time is left. I don't know if any time is left. I've watched Romney. I've watched Sweatorium. I've watched the Cannonball. And I said to myself, they're committing suicide in front of the American people. Instead of debating amongst each other who is best to take on the most corrupt communist in the history of this country to have invaded the White House and pointing out with every debate, well, here's what he did with the solar loans. Here's what he did to NASA. Here's what he did to the military. Here's what he did to the church. Instead, they let that thing, that creature, Gingrich, dragged the entire edifice down. I admit Romney's a liberal. I understand that he's a liberal Republican. But I would sleep better at night with this liberal Republican in the White House than I do with an overt Leninist. Let's put it to you that way, you know, if it's a choice. So here we are. Who's going to stop this? And then you walk around and you see people with the bump, the sticker on their chest already, the button. 2012, it says, with a smirk. With a self-satisfied smirk where I want to run up and grab them, but I don't because, I mean, it's a free country, B, I'm not a violent man. But they're getting me angry when I see the sticker already, the bumper, the campaign button on the lapel, and they're walking around in Marin County with a smirk. I'm getting angry because I want to say, hey, moron, how could you work for this administration, the most corrupt in American history? It's a waste of time. They're brainwashed. It's like living in the Soviet Union, I would imagine, during the reign of the Communist Party, when everybody was a member of the Communist Party, or they had no job, or they were in the gulag. Anyone who said anything against the Communist Party in those days was reported to the equivalent of Department of Homeland Security and investigated by people in black cars and black suits. So there's no point in talking to them. They're brainwashed. They don't want to hear anything about this. They don't want to know about the corruption. They don't care about the sellout. So this is what I spent an hour now on the show. Are you bored of this? Would you rather that I entertain you with stories about meatballs and Chinese restaurants? Because I really am not going to do it today. I'm really not in the mood. Frankly, right now I'm eating a tuna fish sandwich in the studio. I skipped lunch. I'm on another one. One of my remarkable diets that lasted an hour. Because I ate so heavily over the last 4 days out of stress. I've been eating meat like crazy. I decided today I'd have a light lunch of, you know, like goat yogurt and fruit. It's so yin, if you know the yin-yang. It's such a yin diet. I had no energy for the show. I had energy, but I was fading, so I had to go make myself from the refrigerator here. The radio station refrigerator. I had to open up a can of tuna fish. God, I wouldn't. Would you ever eat an open... mixed tuna in a radio station? You'd be insane if you did. No, I opened the can. I brought a roll with me on the outside chance that I needed it. I needed it. I needed my carbs. I needed the... So here we are. No, I'm not going to talk about tuna fish anymore. It's crazy times. We're living in mad times. Just maddening times. See, it's one thing to have an administration that's corrupt in the White House and then have a vocal and a loud vocal opposition party every day talking about the corruption. And a press that acts like a watchdog instead of a yap, 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 lap dog. But we don't have a press that watches the corruption. Instead, they point out Romney's Mormonism or Santorum's insufferable connection to Jesus. That's their problem. Not the billions of dollars, the trillions of dollars, not the printing of money that has no basis in reality, not the destruction of the greatest military in the history of the world, not the decimation of NASA. I can go down the list, and I do, every day. It's all in trickle-down tyranny out in 2 months or a month and a half. I don't know when it's out. The point is, I can't do this every second of my life. So let's go to the callers now and see what you have to say about it. Here's the question of the day, if I have to boil it down to a question. Why do you think liberals hate America? It's that simple. Why do they hate America? That's what I want to know. Because you know liberals, and you know that they hate the country. For 20 years, with that despicable thing called Reverend Wright, cursed this country out. Now, could you imagine if a Republican candidate sat in a meeting hall for 20 years where the preacher talked the opposite? The opposite. Someone who was a fascist or go all the way to the opposite right-wing extreme of Reverend Wright. And now tell me if the media would have let him get away with it by now. Do you think if he sat in a beer hall and listened to somebody cursing minorities, putting down people who can't speak English? I'm giving you an example. Do you think that such a candidate would have lasted one day in a nation run by Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg? Who now own, I mean, they own the news business, and they own the movie business, and they own newspapers, and they own the book business, and they own magazines, all in a few hands. A few hands, a few czars. I think it's a miracle that I get to have a radio show and a miracle that I get to publish books. I think it's a miracle. I think somebody up there still loves me. Some days I don't think he loves me. Some days I don't think there's a God. I had a bad 3 a.m. today. I laid in bed just thrashing left and right and turning, and all I kept asking was, why, if there is a God, why does he permit this to go on? And of course, there's no answer. I don't have an answer because I'm not God, nor am I a prophet. I'm only a talk show host by the name of Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Savage.
Myself, who is Obama loyal to? He is not loyal to the ideals of America, not the America I know. Who is he loyal to? What is this? Who is he answering to? I ask myself. He has a passion for the things he does. He has a passion for wanting to turn this into a bad form of Portugal, European healthcare, European daycare, European education, European nuclear disarmament, European carbon taxes, taking away personal freedoms. Everything that Europe has tried and is running away from, this man is dragging us towards. Why? Who is he answering to? All right, let's go to the callers. Kansas City, Matt, you're first up. Go ahead, please. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, it's an honor to be on your program.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to tell you the good news. I pre-ordered your new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, and I waited with much anticipation.
Well, you know what, Matt? I want to thank you for that, and I want to say this. I believe it's my greatest book. I think it's my opus, and I don't think I'm ever going to do another nonfiction. I can't swear to that, but I think that's the last of them. It's over. There's no point. If this book cannot turn the tide and stop this onslaught of communism in this country, it's futile for me to ever do another one. I've tried, And I've tried with my books to alert America to be sort of a Paul Revere of what they are doing to this country. I don't think I've succeeded, because if you look at the slate of candidates we have on the other side, and if you look at what Obama and his cronies are getting away with, I feel that it's all been futile, truthfully. So this is my last chance to throw everything at the machine and hope to God some of it takes.
Never the last chance, Mike. You just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, I appreciate that, and I do need the support of my listeners. It's all I've got. That's a nice, decent call, okay? New York, WOR, Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. You opened up earlier of how the common man feels.
Well, yes.
The common man out here feels pretty frustrated, but, you know, thanks to you, you're like the window. We open up and throw our TV out. We need to vent, and you help us vent. Because if it wasn't for you, I don't know where we'd be. Because you are like a laser beam on the truth. You hit it. I think things, and it's what comes out of your mouth. So you articulate what my thoughts. I cannot speak the way you can, but I do think it, and you say it, and it's just a validation of all of us out here. And I know from a lot of things that. I think a lot of things, and I know there's a million more people think the way I do. I'm 57 years old, and I feel we're at the tail end of our, you know, our fathers and that era, your era.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we've let this man come along and hoodwink the country and nakedly get away with things that would be incomprehensible that anyone else could get away with it. It's as though he's a magician. One scandal after another unreported by the media. One scandal after another unreported by Republicans when they have every opportunity through their debates to point out to the American people who are listening to these things all of the corruption, all of the crony capitalism, all of the scandals, and they don't do it.
Yeah, these liberals, they can't...
Well, it's not just these liberals. It's the system. It's not just these liberals. Look at the Republicans, what they've done to themselves in these debates. How they go before the human gefilte fish on CNN and the human eels on NBC. The human spiders on ABC who mock them and turn them against each other. And they don't see the picture. Finally, Mitt Romney's people say, no more, he's not going on CNN. And finally, the network pulls the debate altogether. Because they can't rip Romney apart. What's the point of running a debate if they can't tear Romney down any further? They can't make any more points with Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Speckberg, and Spielberg. If they can't make any more points for Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Speckberg, and Spielberg, there's no point running a debate. They can't report to them and say what they've done to Romney today. Why do American liberals hate America? That's what I want to know. That's the question of the day. Pittsburgh, PA, Mike, you're up. Go ahead, please.
I think they hate America because they don't know how fortunate they are. But I called because I think you should go on CNN. I mean, of course they're going to try to tear you down, but think of it as a debate for trickle-up poverty. I mean, for trickle-down tyranny.
Hey, Mike, here's the thing. If it was a straight-up debate without editing, I'd go on in a minute because I could chop the guy up. I could chew him up and spit him out for breakfast. But when they control the feed and they can control what I say and when I get the best of this guy, what they're going to do is cut my besting of him, and they'll cut away to him, and they will not permit me to defend myself or make my points. I know how they work, Mike. There's no such thing as a debate on these channels. Moreover, all they're going to do is take the out-of-context statements that were used to get me banned in England by the vermin in the U.S. State Department who sent it to the rat finks, to use an old phrase, in England, the lowest of the low, the degenerates of the degenerates in the Brown government. And they took my comments out of context and they got me banned in Britain, linking me up with murderers and terrorists. What do you think they're going to do on CNN if I go on with my book? They've invited me, the only ones. To their credit, they want me on for ratings. They know they get a huge boost. That's more than I could say about the leprechaun, who is now pandering to the left as fast as he can. And the skirts on Fox, it's frightening. Megyn Kelly, I got to be honest with you. When she first came up, I thought she was intelligent. I've heard from the inside, is what you see is what you get. She's actually a ditzy blonde.
Savage. Eddie, my love.
is the Savage Nation heard across America from, I guess, from California to Maine and in many places in between. And I have to sit sometimes and ask myself the question, do I still resonate with you, the audience? I'm asking you a question that could be considered very risky for those in radio who would never ask such a question because they want to tell you that they know everything and, you know, they're the best. We all have to think that in order to do this on a daily basis. But I'm going to ask you something. Are my values still your values? What I expressed to you for the last 90 minutes on this show about my concerns and my fears for this country, about the crony capitalism of the Obama administration, about his decimation of the church, the family, the military, and I can go down the list. Are my concerns your concerns? Do you think my concerns are valid, or do you think that I'm sort of out of step with the times? Do you think that I'm overplaying my concerns for the sake of your attention? Do you think things are as dire as I stated them to be? Or do you think things are really quite good and nothing's really changed and everything's just the same and it's just one party as opposed to another and you're just a Republican hack who wants a Republican in? I mean, so what do you actually think the reality is? So this corruption to the billions of dollars in one fake solar company after another, one fake car company after another, this is fake? You mean this is not real? That's not dollars and cents? The hatred for those who've succeeded in this country, the lies by Warren Buffett, in my opinion, as a stooge of the Obama administration, in return for which he gets insider information as to what to buy, to the best I can figure out, where he makes hundreds of millions of dollars. You believe a word Warren Buffett says? You've ever bought Warren Buffett's act? The nice guy, aw shucks, the oracle from wherever? Are you kidding me? You bought that? He's one of the best actors I've ever seen. I realize all the world's a stage, and we're nothing but actors upon it. I get it. He sure had you fooled for a while. But, you know, people don't become that rich by being naive, let's put it to you that way, without having some inside information. So let's see, he goes to the White House one day, invests in Bank of America. The next day, the stock goes up by $200 million the third day. And then he says that we should be taxed more, those of us who earn money. But he's going to stay at the 15%. Well, the answer is, why don't you just pay more, Warren? Why don't you take more of your billions and give it to the poor? Give it to the starving masses? Why are you dictating to us what we should pay? I mean, I frankly think I pay enough. In fact, I pay far too much. Do you know that in biblical times, I believe the highest tax rate was 20%. The highest tax rate was 20% even in biblical times. But we don't live in biblical times, certainly. That's true. We know that. So what's correct? 39.7% is not enough federal tax plus 11% state tax in the corrupt state of California. Let's see, that's 50%. Well, 49% of the American people pay no federal taxes at all. And you're paying 50% of your income in taxes. At least those are the taxes you know about, let alone the hidden taxes wherever you turn. Paper bags, plastic bags, this license, that license. Go try to put a 2-foot addition on your house and see the corrupt communists here in your county, what you have to pay these bums so they can go take their pension and run to North Carolina after they sack the treasury here in Marin County. Go take a look at it. I have some questions. Do you have the answers? I hope you do. Doug, put them up. I'm going to take the callers now. It's their turn. It's their show. We're going to go to the callers. We go to New York on WOR. Kathy, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Savage. Yes, I belong to one of the most practical professions in the world. I'm a veterinarian, and I am very in tune with all of your opinions of what is going on. It's just absolutely awful.
I think veterinarians are saints, personally. I've never met a veterinarian I didn't like, to paraphrase somebody else. But I don't know anyone who's a veterinarian is not a good person.
And also, what I've seen and what I've experienced in life, I think the more you give people, the more they resent you, and I think they have no respect for you because they think, oh, look, they're giving me this. For what? And
so you mean if an illegal alien comes from Mexico and he has liberals waiting at the gate saying, here's my card, sue, we'll help you sue, we're with the ACLU if someone looks at you the wrong way, or the government protects you even though you're breaking the law, they figure any country that's stupid to do this for us is not worthy of respect. Is that what you're saying?
Ex- Exactly, sir. And I've worked in industries where a lot of illegals are, you know, employed, so I know that. And another thing I wanted to speak to you about was I listened to the news this evening, and I was surprised it wasn't on your website, but President Obama is actually proposing to take the weapons away from commercial pilots, and I fly for a living in my profession. I also work for a company as a veterinarian. I practice, but I also work for a company, and I fly all the time.
Well, why would he want to take a gun away from a pilot? Because what, pilots are threatening him?
No, because he wants the fellows that he didn't mention at 9/11 Memorial to have a free ride on the planes, whereas, you know, which I'm on the plane all the time, and it has me quite concerned. I'd rather have my pilots have
I don't understand this. Why would Obama want to take guns away from armed pilots? Why? What sense does that make?
Because then it allows the people that want to get rid of us and cause a spectacle like 9/11 to have an upper hand.
Well, you're not suggesting that Obama's in on it with them, are you?
Well, I don't want to say that because, you know, I don't want to be on that list, Dr. Savage.
Well, many of us ask those questions when we see an administration suing Border Patrol agents who are doing their job. And we see an administration taking down the fences instead of building up the fences along the corridor of the drug smugglers. When we see Hillary Clinton causing the greatest dissension in the history of our country, she has created the greatest foreign policy disaster in American history, and she gets away with it. She orchestrated and organized the so-called Arab Spring, which is blown up in our faces. Why does the media let her get away with it?
Dr. Savage, I guess what you're saying, they're all being, you know, paid off as whatever. And when she was running for Senate in New York State, I live in New Jersey, so I was planning on going over to one of her rallies, and I was hoping I would get a chance to shake her hand, because if she ever shook my hand, I'd say, honey, I wouldn't vote for you if you're running for dog catcher.
Well, don't ever go near her and say that, because you'd be put on a watch list, I can guarantee you. Today she is giving a speech in the Benjamin Franklin Room of the Department of State, in which she delivers remarks in recognition of the International Day of Zero Tolerance for Female Genital Mutilation. Without mentioning the word Muslim. You get it? Do you know any other religion that performs female genital mutilation? Do Christians perform it? Do Jews perform it? Do Buddhists perform it? Do Hindus perform it? Again, it's like Alice in Wonderland. Hillary in Wonderland. Thank you for the call. What about liberal hatred? Why do they hate this country? That's what I want to know. I'd like to know the answer. I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. I'm an immigrant son. A father died young, working very hard here. I've worked very hard all my life. I've done well after many years of not doing well. I should resent the country. I should hate the country. Why don't I? Why do they? Why does Oliver Stone hate America and produce one anti-American movie after another and then produce a psycho son, in my opinion, who converts to Islam while in Iran making a movie? That unto itself should be a curious question. What movie could Oliver Stone's son be making in Iran, the terrorist nation that it is? What film could he be doing for them? And then come up with the fact, I've converted, my name is Ali Stone, and that everyone in the Occupy movement should convert to Islam because it's a religion of peace and understanding. How could they produce children like this? How? How does this happen? And he's not alone, by the way. All of Hollywood is filled with people like this. Hollywood is just filled with people who produce sons like that. One rat boy after another. I'm surprised he hasn't said that he's joining Al-Qaeda to bring down fascist America. Maybe that's the next incarnation to gain some attention at the Golden Globes. Come there in a headdress and say that he's joined the Taliban, perhaps, to kill American troops. Maybe then Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg could do a movie about his nobility. Maybe that's how it would work. Pittsburgh, PA, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, don't put yourself down, Doc. Your intelligence is a burden. Just think, who did Einstein talk to? If he found one person who understood him, he was happy. All right? If everybody understood you, you'd be nuts. Now, you're liberals.
No, here's the interesting, Mark, it's interesting you raise that. I am sort of a man alone, screaming at the wilderness. I have to tell you that I have a huge audience and no friends whatsoever. Do you know that, Mark?
I've got one friend. That's it. 10 for 30.
I have expunged myself of all of those who were not really my friends. And so, okay, I'm not lonely as a result, but I understand the world quite differently. It's good to have pals that you pal around with, but at a certain point, when you are as an intense a world as I am all the time and producing as much as I am, you don't really have the time for the chit-chat. It's almost impossible.
Right. The fewer things you have, the more you appreciate them anyway. Now,
anyway, so what? Explain to me, Mark, explain to me, in all seriousness, why do you think liberals have such a contempt for America? Why?
All right, I'll give it to you. First of all, they're insane. Same thing, expecting different results. They've never learned from history. Now, most of them grew up in the 60s with a 30 to 60 minute mentality where all problems are solved by watching TV. And most of them had a utopian vision from Star Trek and everything else where nobody has, you know, you have a job, there's no money, and everything is given to them. So they have a sense of entitlement. A lot of them are from class and halfway decent families. They've never had to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Yes, that's been my observation. They've never worked very hard. Most of them, you can only generalize up to a point. But why do they hate the country so much? Why do they work to undermine it? It doesn't make sense to me. Don't they understand what vicious hawks are out there waiting to eat our entrails?
Yeah, well, you have to remember, in the 60s, they had no power. And they grew up near the frustration of having no power.
Yeah, well, now they're running the country. Now they're running the country. They're running the movies. They're running the newspapers. They're running virtually every cultural institution in America. They're debasing the museums, but I can go into that. I'm a museum lover. If I ever told you what the San Francisco museums have done over the last 5 years, I don't think you'd be surprised what kind of exhibits, so-called, are going into the museums today. It's all a mark of the debasement and degeneration of our culture, not the opposite. Anyway, look, we can go on and on about it. I don't think we should, but it's pretty good. Romney has quit the CNN debate. They're listening to the Savage Nation. Thank goodness he's quit the debate. He realizes that the human gefilte fish, Wolf Blitzer, has had his last turn at pitting one against the other. Romney's not connecting with the people, that we know. There's no question he's not connecting. He won't come on this show. It doesn't matter to me. I don't even want him on the show. What would I ask Mitt Romney that would be of any interest to you? I'm going to ask him that he hasn't already talked about. You know, he's a nice enough guy, but I don't think we need nice. I think we need something much different than nice. We need something much different than nice, and we don't have it. So I hope I hope somebody wins. Any one of them would be more trustworthy than the Obama administration. That's for sure. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Let's go to the callers. Andrew in Indiana, welcome from the heartland. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I know why liberals or anyone on the planet, for that matter, hates America, because it's a fundamental hostility towards the strengths that they don't have. It's as easy as that. Now, they'll make it more difficult by defogging people's judgment with so-called reason.
Let me think. You're saying the liberals who have almost a pathological hatred for the country are inside themselves extremely weak. So if they see a soldier who is heroic, they resent him because they're not heroic. If they see a cop who's willing to put his life on the line to defend them from the vermin in the gutters, they hate the cop because they don't have his guts. Is that it?
That's what I believe. I believe that you can find a microcosmic example of this with people who hate the military, and it's fundamentally because they don't have the guts to put the uniform on. Now, they'll come up with complicated reasons why and theories, but it boils down to that. I know the type. I went to grad school with them. They have bad teeth. They stay up all night smoking cigarettes, reading Marx, who is also a loon with mother issues that I really haven't figured out yet, but I will.
Yeah, absolutely. He came from a middle-class family and very much like Obama had the same distemper towards his own nation. Of course, the nations were quite different. Have you seen the article I linked up on michaelsavage.com from Stars and Stripes, the military publication? They're forcing soldiers to put on fake belly and fake breasts to better understand pregnant troops' exercise concerns. Have you ever seen anything like this? Could you believe Obama would be doing this and Panetta? Would you believe they would be getting away with this? Would you ever believe that they could do this to our fighting men?
I believe they wouldn't do that. I believe it. It's astounding, as you would say.
Yeah, but I'm not making it up. They're forcing combat veterans to put on fake bellies and fake breasts to better understand pregnant troops' exercise concerns. Now, if you were Al-Qaeda, or you were the Chi-Coms watching this nation, or the Iranians, what would you think of that exercise?
Oh, they're laughing. They're in stitches.
Right. That's why liberalism is a mental disorder and a very dangerous one. At that, I'll be right back.
Savage.
So let's go to a headline from ABC News, always Bolshevik content. Here's the headline. Underwear bomber Abdulmat Talab says, proud to kill in the name of God. That's not what he said. He was proud to kill in the name of Allah. Now, the very same Bolsheviks at ABC News who go out of their way in every way they can to promote an anti-God agenda say that this Muslim maniac said today that he was proud to kill in the name of God when he actually said he's proud to kill in the name of Allah. But you have to read the entire article to find out what Farouk whatever, who tried to bring down Northwest Flight 253 over Detroit on Christmas Day 09 with an underwear bomb, said he was proud to kill in the name of God, and that was in the name of Allah, because you have to read the whole article. Now, as you well know, most people read only a headline. So they bury the references to Islam, Muslim, the Quran, about three-quarters of the way down. Very clever, always Bolshevik content, and here it is. He called the failed explosives he had hidden in his underwear, quote, a blessed weapon to save the lives of innocent Muslims. And he said he tried to bomb Northwest Flight 253, quote, because of the tyranny of the United States. Now, here it comes, buried in the article. The Quran obliges every able Muslim to participate in jihad and fight in the way of Allah. He didn't say God, he told the court. So, you see, they leave out the word Allah and they convert it to God in order to make you think that it was in the name of God, not in the name of Allah. It wasn't in the name of God, it was in the name of Allah. That's a little different. And he goes on, and there's more stuff coming out of him. I'm not going to read it to you. But he tried to bring an airplane down, and a passenger heard a popping, saw flames spreading from his filthy crotch. A Dutch passenger leapt on top of him, and flight attendants stopped the fire with fire extinguishers. DHS was busy conducting diversity training at the time. Abdul Muttalab was found to have white powder packed into his underwear, as well as a plastic syringe to administer a liquid that was supposed to activate the explosives. Taken into custody, he was treated for burns to his hands, leg, and genitalia. Well, I won't read you the rest of the details. You've got the overview of what I was trying to tell you. And here's your security system. TSA failed you. Everyone failed you except passengers. That's what the TSA is worth. And that's what the Department of Homeland Security is worth. And that's what ABC News is worth. Lying at every turn. Underwear bomber says proud to kill in the name of God when he said proud to kill in the name of Allah. And every Muslim's supposed to do this. They buried it in the article. Always Bolshevik content. Always Bolshevik content. A, B, C. Always Bolshevik content. A, B, C. No, it wasn't in the name of God. In his own words, it was in the name of Allah. He also said the Quran, and I'm quoting now in the court, the Quran obliges every able Muslim to participate in jihad and fight in the way of Allah, not in the way of God. But you have to read the entire article to get to the truth from always Bolshevik content, ABC. So how do we win the hearts and minds when the brains of those in the news business are so distorted that they can't ever tell you the truth? As Blake wrote, William Blake, the great poet, the eye that alters, alters all. And I'm afraid their eyes have altered all. That goes for the corrupt crony capitalist administration.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I think it's fair that, now this was Wall Street Journal's figure in an editorial this morning, which you probably saw, that the top 3% pay as much as the other 97% of taxpayers in income tax.
Well, again, I do, because again, life's about choice and alternatives, and if they're not going to pay it, then you have to find the resources elsewhere in asking middle-class families to pay more or cutting the benefits to middle-class retirees.
We do not believe there is a feasible way or a fair way to restore fiscal sustainability without asking a very small fraction of the most fortunate Americans to bear a modestly higher burden for the privilege of being Americans.
And here's all the latest news on michaelsavage.com and on other sites. Finally, Mitt Romney has awakened to his senses and he's refused to attend the CNN debate. Finally, he's come to his senses. And CNN has dropped the debate after Rick and Mitt say no to these left-wing slime balls. Incidentally, they've asked me to appear on their show when my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, comes out. What do you think I told them? And here's what's on michaelsavage.com. San Francisco students were taught how to put on a condom while drunk. That's what they're teaching them in San Francisco. I'm not making it up. Soldiers are forced to put on a fake belly and breasts to better understand a pregnant troop for their exercise regime. This is what Obama's doing to the military. This is impeachable. The man is out to destroy this country. The most important article on my website can be found on the left side of michaelsavage.com, right underneath the ad for Trickle Down Tyranny. One of the leaders in Britain is warning the United States that we're screeching toward the cliff of socialism. He warns of Obama's Europeanization agenda, and he said, "We see you in our rearview mirror." You have to read this to believe it. Meanwhile, Oliver Stone's son, no longer called Always Stone, his new name is Ollie Stone. He converted to Islam. Ollie Stone, Oliver Stone's son, is in Iran. You know that friendly nation over there. And he said that all members of the Occupy movement should embrace Islam because it's a religion of justice and equality. Illegal aliens have won $350,000 settlement over immigration raids. Billions and billions in insider trading by Obama supporters, no arrests. Nuking our nukes. Don't miss that article. Obama's nuking our nukes. Also on michaelsavage.com, things were better when the mob ran Vegas, they're saying. It's an interesting article. Man accused of eating cats. Student quits choir over Islamic song praising Allah. Yeah, well, that's the schools today. Imagine it said there's no other truth but Jesus Christ. You think Muslims would have sang that song? We are being Islamicized by Obama.
We've got to take back the house. I saw pictures of Boehner and Cantor on our screens. Don't ever let me see again in life those Republicans in our hall on our screens talking about anything. These are demons. These are legislators who are destroying this country.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com. You know, I don't care what the principal religion is. In a world gone mad with sex, drugs, and all conceivable deviances, which are held up as norms, only the principal religious traditions can save the souls of ourselves. Okay? It's as simple as that. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists will understand what I just said. In a world gone mad with sex, drugs, and all conceivable deviances that are held up as norms, only the principal religious traditions can save the souls of ourselves. That's my position. That's what I believe. That's my faith. Am I perfect? No, I'm a man. Am I acting as though I'm above you? No. I'm flawed. I'm a flawed man just like you are. The world's great religions have stood the test of time because they're all great. They all share a belief in God. And they all have traditions that are passed on from generation to generation. Now, whether you truly sense God in the tradition that was passed on to you is another story. And many of you don't feel God in your tradition. Many of you are lapsed Jews, lapsed Catholics in particular, and you have wandered and gone to Buddhism, for example, and never found anything there either. You sat on your behind and you did the chanting and bent this and that. You try to feel something there. You felt nothing anyway. There was still a void. There was still a void. And many of you have given up on religion altogether. And I'm not here to tell you to go find it again. That's for you to worry about. So you turn to everything else. God knows, hedonism, you name it. And what do you feel really at the end of the day? It's up to the individual. There's too many people for me to generalize. And so I have to, therefore, at a certain point, talk only about my quest, my road, my hegira, so to speak. I've been on a long road, and I've been in many parts of the world, many strange parts of the world, Tonga, Fiji, Samoa, the Marquesas. I've been to the Middle East, Japan, the hills of Marin. I've been in many, many other places. And have I found God? I don't know. Has God found me? That's what I'm worried about now that where I found him. That would make me the center of the quest. It's whether God has found me. That's all I'm worried about. I don't want to die without God knowing me. I'll be very honest with you. I look back at the body of work I've created, and it's pretty vast. I'm a very prolific individual. I'm going through all of my old writings now because a couple of my publishers are clamoring for my earlier work. And it's a treasure trove I found in some of the storage. I thought I had lost them, then I thought I found them, then they were lost. And I sent them, and they really loved them. They've gone crazy for a lot of these writings. And I keep asking myself, what has driven me since I'm 17 years old to have written all these books and done all these travels and do a daily radio show when most men who are at a certain point who have the means don't work anymore? I'm not saying that they expect me to play golf, but what drives me? And I remember when I was a kid, 17, 16, looking for the reason to live, or what the reason for living is, I remember thinking that every man must make his mark, his notch on earth while he's here. And I said, well, what does that really mean? What does that mean? What do you mean make your mark so you'll be noticed by God, not by man? You see, I think we only get a piece of the picture. We think that we're doing it for the ego recognition on this earth. But in a way, I think we're really writing prayers to the Creator is what I've come to. Anyway, just a random thought about religion from one man. We'll get back to regular programming in a moment. I don't mean to offend those of you who find religion offensive.
Savage.
School starts, children stand up and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Now an Acton family is trying to get the words under God removed from the pledge, and they're taking the Acton-Boxborough School District to court to do it. The plaintiffs are named Jane and John Doe out of concern for what they call public hostility. Their children listed as ages 13, 11, and 9. Their lawyer describes them as atheists and humanists. They say they don't have a problem reciting the pledge, just the term under God.
Every day these kids go to school and the pledge is recited declaring that the nation is in fact under God. That marginalizes them. That suggests that people who don't believe in God are less patriotic.
You know what I want to talk about? Something that none of the candidates dare to mention. Not Romney, certainly not Gingrich because he can't. He has no ability to do so. And certainly not Obama. And that is family values. Oh, yes, I know it's an old phrase. It's as old as Ronald Reagan. I want to talk about family values because they're not discussed by any candidate. I'd like to ask you, what are family values? Can you define them? They've kind of gone out with the old. They're not in with the new. What are family values? Which party better defends such family values and how? Democrats or Republicans? Let's get right down to it. What are family values and which party better defends such family values and how? Then I want to ask you this. Is marriage still a valid institution? We know that most, 50% of marriages end in divorce. I'd like you to call this program, The Savage Nation, if you've been married over 5 or 10 years to the same person, not married over 5 or 10 years to several people, but married over 5 or 10 years to the same person, and tell this audience, particularly the younger people, who've been brainwashed by the socialist educational institution, which is following the protocols of Karl Marx, which aims to destroy the family as a cohesive unit so they can break the society apart. Tell us what the value of marriage is. I think these are fair questions. Again, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you're not prepared to discuss them, we can go on to other topics. I just don't want to say the word Gingrich. I don't want to say the word Romney, even though I just said Gingrich and Romney. If I could avoid saying Obama, I would avoid saying Obama. It's almost impossible, since virtually everything the man said was a lie or a parsing of a half-truth, which is about the same thing. It's astounding to me that in one of his, here I go again, one of his lines last night, Obama said, well, listen to clip 13, listen to this lie.
Tax reform should follow the Buffett rule. If you make more than $1 million a year, you should not pay less than 30% in taxes.
And you my see, Republican well, friend... Oh, no, stop, stop. See, most of us who are not Warren Buffett pay much more than 30% in taxes. Warren Buffett is a phony, in my opinion. Warren Buffett has one of the greatest fake acts in the history of the business world. Mr. Nice Guy, this dividend income game of 15% on dividends bypassing the 37% tax rate that most others pay who make over $1 million is astonishing to me. Moreover, Buffett, you may not know this, you know the Keystone Pipeline deal that Obama destroyed? Democrats wanted it. Republicans wanted it. Unions wanted it. Workers wanted it. Makes sense. Bring the oil from Canada to America. Refine it here. You don't have to bring it in from Saudi Arabia. No. Why did Obama kill it? We didn't understand it. It made no sense. The answer is quite clear. We found out that Buffett will clean up real well, because you see the oil that comes from Canada now, not through a pipeline, comes in on the railroad that is owned by Warren Buffett. So it's old 18th century railroad politics. The railroad tycoon, Warren Buffett, yes, a railroad tycoon, Warren Buffett, who knows everything runs on rails. Old Warren Buffett, the old, aw shucks, little old me, I'm a nice guy, driving old Buick, living a little house Buffett, told his president, the man he put in office, along with the other special interests, we want you to kill that Keystone Pipeline deal so we can continue to make billions of dollars on our investments in transportation and in other manners. That's why I don't want to talk about politics, because they're so filthy. You see, politics are fundamentally run by dirty, disgusting, degenerate lawyers. The worst people on the planet are in politics because, well, the worst people amongst the politicians are those who were previously lawyers. The legal profession is the slimiest profession in the history of the world. Not only do they parse the truth, they never tell the truth. Their entire goal in the legal profession is to lie and cheat and to destroy people. Now, what happens when a lawyer becomes a congressman, or God forbid, a senator, or worse yet, a president? Do I have to spell out for you the fact that we now have a lawyer for a president? Did you hear what I just said to you? We have a lawyer for a president. The least admired profession in American history, a profession dirtier than the oldest profession, which is prostitution, is politics. And the dirtiest amongst the politicians are the lawyers. You have any idea why the country is corrupt, why it's broken, why the people hate politicians? Answer, lawyers. That's why I want to talk about something positive. I want to talk about something positive. Family values, not discussed by Obama. You know, I look at the candidates. We know that Newt Gingrich is unqualified at any weight to talk about family values. Cannot talk about them. Astonishing that he is where he is. He's a completely washed-up politician. Then you have Romney, who has the most perfect family values presentation, and his misadvisors are hiding that from the American people. If I were Romney, I would show my wife, my 4 children, and my grandchildren at every opportunity I could. See, America wants a new mother, and America wants a new father, and America wants a new first family. You don't know that. I dared say the impossible. America wants a new first family. It's not that there's anything wrong with this first family, but there's something missing in the picture that they can't quite put their finger on. They feel something is missing. They don't know exactly what it is. There are very few pictures of the family together. We know that there's a strained relationship between the family and the church. We know there's a strained relationship between the family and celebrating together. At least we don't see many of those pictures. We want a new father and mother in the White House, and we want a new first family. Best qualified for that is Romney. Perfect family story, beautiful wife, beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren. And yet his misadvisors, who are shafting him the way they shafted McCain, but he apparently is too much of a nice guy to even know he's being run off the rails by his own enemies within. Romney's enemies within keep him away from this show and others that could launch him over the top. Instead, they tell him to go on to the very same shows that are undermining Gingrich and Romney. Romney and Gingrich. Gingrich and Romney. Romney and Gingrich. They go before the liberal swine, and they expect the liberal swine to behave any other way except liberal swine. And the very core of their base, they spit on. Why? Because of their misadvisors. And so that's why I'm asking you, family values. Can you define family values? What are they? I mean, we used to hear about them back in, I think it was the 80s, before Bill Clinton came along and destroyed any reference to family and family values, disgraced the presidency, besmirched the White House, made a mockery of marriage. What are family values? And which party better defends such family values, and how do they do so? Is marriage still a valid institution? Call if you've been married over 5 or 10 years to the same person and tell the listeners of this show, many of whom are young, have a very large younger demographic because they have nowhere else to turn for any kind of inspiration or entertainment. Tell us why you've remained married and what you get out of it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Anti-American, anti-freedom, Stalinist group, funded by the most evil man on the planet, in my opinion, George Soros, something out of the Soviet Union, Media Matters, has been undermining conservatives like Michael Savage for a very long time, and yet they are still tax-exempt. That is insane. They're not supposed to have a tax-exempt status if they're political. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to talk about this is conservative columnist Stephen Crowder. Stephen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, it's great to be here, Michael. I appreciate it. You know, it's funny, I was raised in Montreal. We didn't really have conservative AM radio. I don't know if it was banned or what, but we used to occasionally be able to pirate a station from Plattsburgh, New York. So on a sunny day, as a young boy, I got to listen to the Michael Savage show back then. If we got the signal, if we stole it just right, so it's an honor to be on here.
So you've also been attacked by the left-wing media?
Well, it's been a long time that this has been going on, of course, obviously being a target of Media Matters and any left-wing blog that exists. But at CPAC, I did a song called Mr. America with a friend, Chris Lash, the Powdered Zombies of the rap duo we formed, where this song is basically we're dressed as the founding fathers, back from the dead, looking on the country, seeing what a terrible mess people have made of their great experiment. Rapping about it. And one of the lines is in the song uses what I guess now we refer to as the K word, because apparently you can't use it. The word is, maybe you get your sense much like a racial epithet, and so you can't use it. So actually I was accused, the person applauded, knowing full well that I yelled the N word. So that was the attack. The truth is I used a K word, and actually there's a joke in the video where we even point to the pants. And then the following person says, man, you think I'd say that? What's wrong with you? I'm just talking about the short pants that I rock with my shoes. So it was a screw you to leftists who are oversensitive. This was written, by the way, by a black American in St. Louis named Brad Strong. And the people still took the bait and reacted this way. So I don't care who you are. That's funny.
Stephen, what's your opinion on the GOP race? Is there anyone left who could actually defeat Barack Obama? I don't believe so, as I point out in Trickle-Down Tyranny.
Listen, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the business of endorsing political candidates because I'm going to have to vote for the guys in the city I'm voting for, not that guy, the guy who sucked at his job, who currently holds office. I don't like the fact, by the way, that now I can't say that guy sucked his job truthfully without being reported to the White House by one of Obama's truth team monkeys. Do I think anyone has a chance at winning? Yeah, I think it'll be hard. I think that Barack Obama is licking his lips at the chance to run against Romney because it's part of the 1%. It's really easy to paint him that way. And I think he's saying Romney's the toughest thing because it's kind of like Mike Tyson. You know, Mike Tyson, people think he was the greatest boxer. Well, he was never the greatest boxer. He fought the easy fight. All that while, Evander Holyfield was there, so was Lennox Lewis. So he's just saying, you know, listen, I really want to fight Buster Douglas because I think he's the toughest fight. So same thing with Barack Obama right now saying Mitt Romney's the toughest fight. So can anyone beat him? I don't know, but I just know what I think they're trying to do, and that's pick the easy fight for them.
Regarding Iran, we just found out they have enough enriched uranium for 2 nuclear bombs. That's amazing. I think the Obama administration is just going to let Iran have the bombs. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what they will be doing, and that is absolutely nothing. You're talking about a guy who missed a huge opportunity, for example, with Egypt, an uprising where he could have sided with the right people. I don't think we're going to see that here. I don't think this guy has an honest sense of right and wrong. Even though you've got a nation right now essentially run by somebody who said he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map, you still have this guy sort of giving Israel the shaft when Netanyahu came to the States. So, you know, I don't know exactly what should be done. I'm not an expert in that field. I certainly think they should be dealt with strongly. I would leave that to the actual military advisors who do that for a living. Hopefully Barack Obama can get his inflated ego out of the way to do the same. But my bet is he's going to do absolutely nothing. And I've been wrong before, but if I were you, I'd bet the house on that.
What about the Obama budget? What do you think is the worst part about this monster disaster that does nothing to address the problems that we're facing in this nation? We're becoming like Greece.
I think the worst part of any Barack Obama budget is the part that provides him with a BlackBerry to text Scarlett Johansson and Will.i.am. There's a great use of tax dollars at work there. Listen, this is a guy who has to say, well, it's not working now, but it's going to work if we throw more money at it. I come from Quebec, which is a socialist province. We've thrown money at it for a long time, okay? It doesn't work. Bigger government doesn't work. Regulating the markets the way this guy wants to doesn't work. Bailing out failed business models doesn't work. And I can pretty much bet that the budget is going to encompass all of that. So, listen, I don't expect it to work very well. His idea is always throw more money at the problem, and it'll work eventually. Hey, it hasn't worked in the past. That's because nobody implemented it correctly, and I can do that. I'm not buying it.
Culturally, this country has gone off the cliff. In your opinion, what can we do to turn this around culturally?
Well, I think you're right. Culture is definitely headed to hell in a handbasket, and that's largely conservatives' fault. Listen, we've conceded that territory, okay? There was a proactive movement in the entertainment industry by the liberal cesspool of filth there to turn it into a propaganda machine. That's why you look at movies, you know, that aren't even profitable, that push anti-American or anti-American military agendas. You have Lions for Lambs, Redacted, Rendition. They don't make money. If they continue to be made, which goes to show you that not that it would be excusable if there were a profit motive, but it's not even a profit motive. It's an ideological motive. Now, conservatives haven't really undergirded their artists. For example, I think if you would pick the power of Washington, D.C. over Hollywood, that you need a CAT scan. Robert Downey Jr., if he were to come out of the closet as a conservative with one tweet, would have more influence than all of your state's congressmen combined. But these people don't feel confident coming out of the closet. Why? Because they lose their job, because they're surrounded by people who agree with each other, and they're surrounded by yes men. So you've created a culture here in the entertainment industry, and the same thing with mainstream media, where people are afraid to speak out. When you talk about mainstream media, Michael, there was a time in this country where Walter Cronkite was, my God, considered an actual journalist. And now people are saying, oh, we're so polarized here in the media. We're not polarized. It's that people can't lie anymore. Walter Cronkite sucked. Dan Rather sucked. Tom Brokaw sucked. It's just that now people from the other side of the spectrum have a voice and they can speak out against it. So I think conservatives should definitely take a more active role in culture and stop focusing on micro-district politics, because politicians are always going to disappoint you.
Stephen, keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Yeah, it was great speaking with you, Michael. I appreciate it. If folks want to see the weekly videos, they can go to youtube.com/Stephen Crowder, the one conservative channel among that liberal cesspool of filth. Or if people disagree with me and think I'm wrong, they can tweet me at S. Crowder, and I'll be sure to tell them why they are terrible people.
I, Michael Savage, will be right back.
Savage.
Did you just say that there are no tax increases for those folks who are making under
$250,000?
So
families under $250,000, individuals under $200K.
So if I'm a part of a family that does not buy health insurance in violation of the president's health care program and I have to pay because of that, that's not a tax on me?
The Affordable Care Act saves money.
I understand that, but is that a tax on me then if I do not pay for that, or is that not a tax? You said there's no tax increases if people make under $250,000. If I make under $250,000 and I do not buy health insurance as I'm required to under the Affordable Health Care Act, is that a tax on me or is that not a tax on me?
Well, this is...
A moment ago you said there's no tax increase.
There aren't. There would be...
So that's not a tax?
No.
That's not a tax. Okay, that's just want to be clear on that because that's not the argument that the administration is making.
Let's be clear. I don't want to go through the whole litany because you know it's true and you've heard it. If he wins again, all bets are off as to whether this country will survive as a free nation. It's interesting. You know that in April I have a book coming out called Trickle Down Tyranny, right? But what you don't know is the subtitle of the book, which I've been altering almost on a minute-by-minute basis right until they go to the printer with it. And I changed it this morning. I wish I had it in front of me. I don't want to get it. Oh, here it is. Hold on. Hold on. It's not even up on the site for you to buy it yet, so I don't think I'm selling you. Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of a Divided. It's actually the Socialist States of America. Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America, or a Socialist States of America. Will we remain the U.S. of A, or will we become the USS of A, the United Soviet States of America? Listen to what I just said to you. Many ex-Soviet citizens see a remarkable movement that is retrograde, moving backwards from freedom to tyranny, from the US of A, the greatest country the world has ever seen, into something else. And we don't know what his model is for this transformation. Remember, he kept saying he wants to be a transformational president. What does that mean, transformational? That's way beyond progressive, president. Transformational. So we don't know whether his model of transformation resides in Paris or in Beijing. We don't know whether his model for a transformed America is that of Washington, D.C. or Damascus, Syria. We have no idea what he means by transformational, but many of us have a deep fear in our gut that it's not good. We fear this man because we don't sense he really cares about individual rights and individual freedoms. And he certainly has shown it today with the interaction with a brave female governor, woman, who stood up to him. And he said, how dare you? How dare you point your finger at me and say anything about me in your book? I am Obama, the master of all. You're just a mere fleck, a mere governor. Who do you think you are? Do you understand the ramifications of this interchange are actually quite global? This is the gesture seen around the world. This is a gesture, if properly handled by any of the Republican candidates, could launch them way over the top. Unfortunately, they're being advised by, I think, fairly dim, doctrinaire, heavily programmed individuals who don't really understand what's going on in this country. They're so deeply involved in hating each other and attacking each other's candidacy, they don't even see what Obama's doing. So I think we've covered that. Unless you want to talk about it. Many of you saying about time somebody stood up. Obama, you want me to read what some of the people are saying? I don't think I should read what other people are saying. I'll let them talk for themselves. Nancy in New York wants to talk about the debates. Nancy, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I agree with you about Governor Brewer, but I happen to think that it's a good idea that the Republicans have all these debates so they can hash it out and attack each other, because the Democrats are going to be doing that to them in the campaign.
However, why is it then that Obama's ratings have gone up while a generic Republican candidate has gone down as they continue to rip each other apart and as Gingrich in particular continues to rip Romney down?
Yeah, well, everybody likes to make fun of the Republicans, all of the news media, and I think that boosts Obama's, you know, increase in the polls, but I don't necessarily...
Well, you see, so that's what I'm saying. All of this attention on Gingrich's attacks, on Romney in particular, have benefited only one person, and that's Obama. In fact, it should be an Obama presidency with Gingrich running as the vice presidential candidate as a Democrat, because he certainly will have earned the vice presidential slot. He's done more for Obama than has Biden in this last 60-day cycle. It should be an Obama slash Gingrich ticket. There's no question about it. I see that in Brooklyn, New York, there's a problem going on. Religious Jews versus short-skirted hipsters in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Religious Jews are upset at their new young neighbors for everything from women wearing shorts, bar hopping, and sunbathing. Let's see. Stop these yuppies from bringing your modesty to our neighborhood. It's a clash of different cultures, they're saying. Young people are coming into the neighborhood, sun tanning on rooftops, bike lanes, and an increasing amount of immodesty on our streets. Well, you know, it's an interesting argument. This area of Brooklyn, the corner of Kingston Avenue and Eastern Parkway, is the home base of the Chabad-Lubavitch movement. And they're extremely modest and extremely religious. And they're entitled to be so in a free country. But so are the women. The question is, why must the women do this in their neighborhood? Why would they move to a neighborhood like that and purposely walk around and offend religious people? Why must they do this? Why don't they go somewhere where they can be who they are without judging them? Okay? It's their neighborhood more than mine, said one of the sluts. She says, but everyone should be able to dress how they want to dress. Okay, well, you know, it's an interesting question. The rabbis say religious Jews don't want their children to see too much skin as newcomers flood the neighborhood. It's a very intriguing clash because it's gone on in Israel for a very long time, in Jerusalem in particular. Another story out of New York that's attracted my attention. The police commissioner, Mr. Kelly, who's a distinguished individual and a fabulous police commissioner, has a son who was 9 years a Marine pilot. 9 years a Marine Air Force pilot. Then he was on one of the TV networks. Now, the story is that he went to a woman and he run into each other in the street months ago. She invites him back to her law office. We don't know whether she's a legal aide, paralegal, or a lawyer. She invites Kelly back to her law office after hours. She claims now, months later, he raped her. Can you believe this? Now she's claiming that she was pregnant from the rape and that she had to abort the baby. You know, this is getting crazy that lawyers are allowed to make these stories up. This is crazy. It's just insane what's going on in the world because of the out-of-control legal mob. It may as well be a gang with laptops instead of machine guns. The laptop is a far more dangerous item in the hands of American lawyers, the American Bar Association, than our AK-47s in the hands of gangs in this country. Because with one laptop, you can destroy an entire nation. Look what's going on in this country. Houston, Texas. Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage.
Go ahead, please. Yes, I can hear you. Please speak.
Okay. This is the time that I am reminded of when you said that only the women of this country can save this nation.
Only the women. I did predict that it would be women who might save the nation.
And this is, I think, a mother talking to a small child, putting him in place, basically saying no means no.
Well, that's why he didn't like it. Obama's not used to anyone criticizing him, advising him even, or saying anything that he doesn't want to hear.
Yes, and thank you for taking my call. I come from a different country, but I'm kind of seeing this. I've been seeing this for 6 years now that he's trying to run this like you say, a third world dictatorship.
Are you originally from India, perhaps?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful people. The Indian people come to this country and contribute so many things and in such a powerful way. They don't set off bombs. The Hindus don't set off bombs. They don't run around with a flag saying, I hate America. They don't have posters saying, we'll introduce Sharia law. It's astounding the difference between the Hindus of India and your neighbors.
Well, it is a fact that...
I noticed that. I mean, I can't help but noticing that. Why can't I notice it? What should I say? All immigrant groups are the same? They are clearly not. God bless the people from India. Now, here's a shocking story. Liam Neeson, fabulous actor, he's converting to Islam. The Irish actor raised a Catholic and once an altar boy says that Islam got into his spirit while he was making a film in Turkey. You mark my words. I said something else a few years ago. I said the next trend in Hollywood amongst the know-nothing, empty-headed drug addicts is going to suddenly be taking on the piousness of Islam in order to make it a political statement, in order to make it take it upon themselves as suddenly they go from the most degenerate, all of a sudden they walk around in burqas in Hollywood. The Irish actor admitted to the UK Sun newspaper that he's considering giving up his Catholic belief in order to become Muslim. Went to explain the Islamic prayer got into his spirit when he was working on the action thriller Taken 2. Well, what this dolt doesn't know is that the action thriller Taken 2 cannot even be shown in most Muslim nations, this moron. It just shows you how stupid actors really are. It just shows you how stupid these entertainers are. I mean, he could practice any religion he likes. Certainly, he could become a Muslim and not become an extremist. We understand that as well. But what is he talking about Islam in the middle of promoting three movies for? What's that all about? Why is it that so many liberals want to join Islam and communism? Can you believe this? It's beyond belief. First they promote communism, and now they promote Islam. What is it about these people? What is it about these people? I suggest that Liam Neeson go live in Syria for a few years, or better yet, let him live in Egypt for a few years and see how they treat film actors who lead his lifestyle.
Savage.